It's a Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. While it might be tempting to feed the deer that may wander into your surroundings, the Pennsylvania Game Commission advises against this. So as hard as it may be to stare into those big, desperate-looking deer eyes, you must resist for their own good. So says our next guest, Dr. Justin Brown, a veterinarian with the State Game Commission. He joins us now by phone. Dr. Brown, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having me.
Is there a big problem in the state with people feeding deer?
It certainly is something that people do. It's a practice. It is illegal to feed certain big game species like elk and bear, and it's illegal to feed deer in certain areas of the state where we have some disease issues, such as chronic wasting disease. However, other than that, it is not illegal to feed deer outside those DMAs, but it is a practice that we encourage against.
So it's not illegal to feed deer. It's illegal to feed elk and bears, you say?
Correct.
And why is that? What is it about if you're feeding a wild animal? I mean, it's not necessarily a smart thing to do because they're gonna remember your address and show up at all sorts of times. But aside from that, why is it illegal?
Why is it? Well, I think whenever, you know, the legal parts oftentimes come down to what laws we can enact. And certainly with this, it's a highly emotional issue. And that's part of the reason that it is still legal to feed deer. But as far as whenever we're involved and whenever we make the decision to disrupt the natural behavior of an animal and natural biology, we always have to look at what are the costs and what are the benefits. And certainly when you talk about feeding deer, most of the work that's been done to evaluate that shows that really it doesn't have that much positive benefit. Either for the deer or the surrounding environment. And there are several negative impacts that feeding deer can have, both directly, indirectly, as well as with the environment.
What are some of the dangers involved in feeding deer?
So some of the things we can get with feeding is obviously we disrupt their natural behavior, their natural biology, and deer are really a well-adapted to handle the winters here in Pennsylvania. They change their hair coat. They utilize habitats that can keep them through the winter. And they reduce their movements to try and make do with the limited resources they have over the winter. When we mess that up, we cause them to be dependent on feeding. We can have a lot of negative impacts from that. Certainly directly, we do have a few diseases that actually directly are related to feeding, where it actually disrupts their normal bacterial flora in their intestinal tract and can produce disease that way. And some of those are called rumen acidosis, which we certainly see, as well as some toxin and bacterial diseases that we see as well. In addition to those, once you congregate animals in a certain area, and make them travel to these feeding sites, we can have issues with increased vehicle collisions, increased predation in areas where that's an issue. You can get increased aggression as these animals are congregated around these feed sites. And probably most importantly, when you congregate these animals at these abnormally high concentrations around feed, you create a great opportunity for certain diseases to transmit more efficiently. And probably the biggest ones we worry about in Pennsylvania would be chronic wasting disease, which we do have here in the state, as well as tuberculosis, which is not currently here, but they have had issues in other states, and it's been heavily linked with feeding.
So, in other words, the deer are, they generally tend to feed off of plant life, and so you're saying, and people have been known to feed deer, I happen to know some people that will feed bread to deer. Explain how that disrupts their ability to digest the food that they should be eating, how that interrupts the way that they process food.
Sure. So deer are ruminants, and they have a four-chambered stomach, and as opposed to us and other mammals that often have a one-chambered stomach. And They have the main compartment of their intestinal tract called a rumen, and it's got a certain a well-coordinated bacterial composition there. And it allows the deer to break down a lot of the vegetation that they eat and utilize that as an energy resource. Now, deer adapt for the changing vegetation in the landscape. And so particularly in the winter when we see most of our feeding, it takes about 2 to 4 weeks for their intestinal tract to adapt to these changing food sources. Now, in a natural setting, that's not a problem because it's well in tune with what's happening out on the landscape. But when they get immediate access to some of these other feed sources, what it does is it can actually change the composition of the rumen, change the bacteria, and not only produce disease in that animal, but also make it so that because their rumen flora hasn't adapted soon enough, they can't utilize that food source that's given to them.
You mentioned earlier disrupting their natural behavior. Haven't we already done that with just, you know, the ever expanding businesses in the suburbs? And you know, we seem to be extending ourselves farther out into the woods and the wilderness and the natural landscape of the countryside anyway. So hasn't that already happened?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are very few wild populations that don't have some human impact on them. But I think oftentimes you have to look at what you can control and how immediate are those impacts. And certainly when we talk about feeding, it's an abrupt change oftentimes. And it is something that we can control and that we can choose not to do. It's a little harder to make those decisions when you're talking about an expanding human population.
And explain what chronic wasting disease is.
Chronic wasting disease is a disease of cervids, which would include elk, moose, and deer. And it's a disease that's caused by an abnormally shaped protein, and it affects the nervous system of deer. It was originally identified out in the Rockies, out in Fort Collins, Colorado, in the late 70s, and it first showed up here in Pennsylvania, both in captive as well as wild deer, in 2012.
And so we aren't seeing dead deer. I mean, and you mentioned the things that we do that might be detrimental, but why aren't we seeing the results of man's mistakes?
Are you asking specifically about chronic wasting disease or feeding in general?
Feeding in general.
Feeding in general. Well, oftentimes, and it depends on what would be the cause of mortality. If we're talking about rumen acidosis, or aggression or hit by car, we may be dealing with low numbers of mortality, and certainly we do see that, and we do detect that each year. If we're talking about larger outbreaks where we'd be looking at large numbers of animals that would die, oftentimes those are diseases that may not be influenced by feeding. When we think of things like hemorrhagic disease, which is a viral disease of deer, we often see large numbers of deer that are dead. With a lot of the diseases that may be associated with feeding or have impacts by feeding, which would be chronic wasting disease, tuberculosis, things like that, it may be a slow smoldering type of mortality where maybe an animal is dead here and dead there, but you may not see that explosive large number of dead animals like you do with some other diseases.
Dr. Justin Brown, a veterinarian with the State Game Commission, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, correspondent Elaine LaBombe says a hot destination is Cleveland. That's next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.